It's us. We're back again.
And we're back.
We survived.
Yeah.
We're not even all that hungover.
No, it was a good show.
Well, like I said, me and Tom are seasoned drinkers. Yeah. So it's like it takes a lot more than that to take us
I can
out.
Shake it off easily.
I am not seasoned, but I got some food and some water, and I picked right back up like a wilted flower.
And I didn't tell you, but I think I had two more drinks after we finished the show, because then, you know, we went on and did some other shit.
Yeah, we went on and did that other thing with some creators. They were all talking to each other, and I was fucking trashed, and I'm fucking yelling and talking to the guys that I'd recognized and didn't realize there were 40 other people.
Yeah, there was like 40 or 50 people in there.
What?
It's like, there's too many people.
Yeah, and then they started talking, and it started to get like they were actually like doing a show for each other, talking about
they were kind of drunk
paranormal shit. And
yeah, they were all
we were like, we gotta get out of here.
Well, we were like really messed up too. Yeah. Like we were pretty drunk and it was getting late, and I was kind of like, man, I just kind of want to go to sleep.
We didn't want to do another show. They're all wanting to do a show for each other. It's looking weird, you know.
But yeah. So we decided today, because we hadn't watched any new movies, we decided that we were going to talk about a 2014 movie that actually Sophie bought for us. And I had seen it before, but Tom hadn't. And this is called The Voices. Now, like I said, we reviewed one called The Voices from 2020, like a while, but it's a completely different movie. This is like a horror comedy from Ryan Reynolds. Now, what I'm going to say, too, that what we just decided to do, like just 5 minutes ago that we were talking about before we started recording, was that for the matinee shows, I feel like I've been too focused on like getting like new movies like from 2019, 2020. And I feel like I could expand that out. So like maybe a new movie would count as like the last 10 years because there's a lot of movies that I would have liked to talk about. But then I was like, oh, it came out in 2017 or 2018. It's too old, you know, for the matinee, but too new for the retrospective. Yeah. So I feel like if we expanded the matinee like out a little bit and then we can just do that. So I have like a wider range of shit.
Did you thank Matt for the 20?
Yes, I did. Well, thank you very much, Matt. I typed it on there as well.
Thank you for the birthday present.
Okay. So, yeah, so... Because we had just watched The Voices, and I was like, well, we didn't have time to watch anything newer than that, so let's just talk about that movie, because we all really liked that movie. I've seen it twice. Sophie's seen it a bunch of times.
That's only the second time.
That's only the second time you've seen it, and Tom just saw it the first time.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's good.
I liked the movie. Sophie's got a good taste in movies. She said, you're going to like this one. Watch this one. Yeah. I just did your voice. You realize
that's
that?
Not really what she sounds okay, like, though. I just did your voice. That's like his generic, that's what a girl talks like voice. That's his girl.
That's okay. Girls do that to guys too. They go, oh, he said this, boo.
Yeah, that's like the generic meathead dude voice.
So I fucking kicked a hornet's nest.
You did. See,
yeah,
you
I do can't, that. It's part
you,
of the show.
You gotta, can't win.
Gonna do it.
You can't win.
I'm gonna kick it. So I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna kick the hornet's nest. That's.
I guess so. Yeah. But yeah, so the interesting thing about it, the second time that I watched The Voices, like just a couple nights ago, I didn't realize the first time that I saw it that it was directed by Marjan Satrapi, who is probably best known for Persepolis. Like she did the graphic novel, and then they did like an animated film of it later. I think it was nominated for an Academy Award, like for Best Animated Feature, like in 2008 or something, I want to say. But yeah, that graphic novel, I read it maybe a couple years after it came out, and it's excellent. And like the animated film is really good too. So I thought it was really cool. I was like, holy shit, I didn't realize that she had directed this movie. She doesn't direct a shit ton of movies, but she really liked this one a lot. So the premise of this movie, if you haven't seen it, it might be on Tubi. I forgot to check, but I'm pretty sure it might be on Tubi if you want to watch it for free. But so there's a guy named Jerry, played by Ryan Reynolds, and he has some mental problems. Chief among them is that his dog and his cat talk to him. And also, he's maybe a serial killer.
No, he is a serial killer.
She's trying to lead into it. Like, you're not supposed to know that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, spoiler alert. But yeah, well, it's not really a spoiler because they kind of established that at the very beginning. What is kind of cool about this movie, it's a horror comedy, I guess, or a black comedy, because it's fairly gory and, you know, but it's kind of like, you don't find out until later on, but I guess like there was something with his mom and his mom had, I don't know if they're trying to say that he had schizophrenia, I guess it's supposed to be schizophrenia or something like that. And so he's been like on kind of an outpatient program. So he has a job and everything. I think it's in some kind of factory. And he's been on like medication, but he hasn't been taking the medication because when he takes the medication, I guess he sees life as it really is. And when he doesn't
take
the...
That's depressing.
Yeah. And it's like, but when he doesn't take it, that's when the dog and cat talk to him. And that's when, like, he sees everything like an idealized version of everything.
Yeah. It's real colorful and fucking real happy and fucking his animals
he's
talk
kinda
to him.
He's kind of like a fake happy, and, but he likes it. He enjoys it.
Yeah.
The drugs wear off. He realizes he's in a shitty ass fucking apartment. With
no, it's the opposite. If the drugs kick
that's
in.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant. When he takes the drugs and the drugs kick in, he realizes he's in a shitty apartment with dog shit everywhere. And just looking,
yeah. There's like boxes, let's go hoarder.
Yeah, the animals are trying to escape. They're not his friends, really. You know, it's looking funny.
Yeah, it's funny because the dog's name is Bosco, and then the cat's name is Mr. Whiskers. And the dog is essentially like the good side of him, and then the cat is like his
it's
evil
the angel
side.
And devil on your shoulder.
Yeah, so it's like basically the cat is just telling him, you know, it's okay to kill people. It's like that's the only way you feel alive and stuff like that. Another thing that I didn't know about this movie until we watched the making of shit was that Ryan Reynolds did the voice for the dog and the voice for the cat, which I thought was really crazy because the cat has like...
It's like a Scottish accent.
It was a Scottish or Irish or North of England or some kind of accent like that. And it was really well done. So I thought, I didn't realize that that he had done all three of those voices, which I guess it shouldn't surprise me that much because he does do like a lot of voice work and shit like that. But I mean, the shit that the cat says is like super funny. But yeah, so he basically gets a crush on this hot English chick that works at his job, who's actually played by Gemma Arterton. She was in
Gemma, somebody.
Quantum of Solace, right?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
I think it was Quantum of Solace.
She was. She played somebody from the embassy. Didn't she play some girl from the embassy?
Yeah, because we knew.
He got tied up with her.
Yeah, because I was like, man, I know I've seen that chick before. Like, her voice was very familiar and her face was very familiar. But I'm pretty sure she was in Quantum of Solace, among other things. But so, her name is Fiona, right? The character name in this movie, not in Quantum of Solace. But yeah, so he kind of gets a crush on her, asks her out. She doesn't really have anything to do with it, but she's kind of too nice to like blow him off, like say no, fuck off. So she kind of's like, yeah, I'll go out on a date with you, whatever. Just like leave me alone. And then like she kind of stands him up. And then it happens that, well, you're not really sure if this is how it happens because...
You can't really trust anything in the movie.
Because you can't really trust anything because he's not perceiving things the way they really are. Like, I thought it was cool, like, the first time I watched the movie and you're watching it the whole time, like, he has this really nice apartment, like, you know, the dog and cat are talking and everything seems fine, like, he seems, like, super happy. But then, like, when he takes the pills and he wakes up and he's in what his apartment really looks like... And it's just like this horrible shithole.
Yeah.
And I really, really liked that that aspect of the movie.
Yeah, visually, the whole rose-colored glasses kind of element of the movie kind of reminded me. Remember that movie about the romantic comedies? About the little fat girl?
Isn't It Romantic?
Isn't It Romantic?
Yeah, that came out
last
year.
Which I actually liked that movie.
I did too. I thought it was like really entertaining.
And she was living in her own romantic fantasy, like a romantic comedy fantasy.
Although she hated it.
She hated it.
She woke up. Yeah. She didn't want it. She just woke up one day. And
but
she was
visually, the way her romantic fantasy looked a lot like his.
Like his, yeah.
His romantic fantasy. I guess that's what it is. Because his version of reality was just a movie that was running through his head. You were able to see it.
Yeah.
You know, until he took those pills and it would go away. And you didn't want that.
Yeah, because everything looked really shitty and bad. Yeah. Like, it looked like, like I said, there was dog poop all over his apartment. There was body parts and blood everywhere from where he had, like, killed people.
Doing stupid shit. Yeah.
Keeping heads in the fridge.
Yeah.
But when he didn't take the pills, like, the heads talked to him and, like, gave him ideas and stuff.
Yeah.
It's when we were watching the behind the scenes... The guy, I think the guy that wrote it, he said he got the idea from, he's like, I was watching a documentary or some like expert on serial killers or whatever. And he's like, this guy was saying that all serial killers have, you know, the easiest way to catch them is to figure out what the movie is that's playing in their head. And the writer of this movie said, I want to see that movie. So he decided to write a movie about a serial killer and what was going on in their head and how it might have been. It's good because it's funny and it's gory and shit, but you still feel bad for him, even though he does terrible things. Because he's sick, he can't help it.
He's a serial killer kind of like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
In temperament. Similar. He's kind of like Jeffrey Dahmer. You know.
And I don't know how much you want to give away about his... No. He said about his mom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got... Yeah, like, yeah. He had a bad childhood. He has a genetic component for this mental illness. And then, yeah, the stuff with his mom. Because remember how... Yeah. How she passed away.
Yeah.
Was kind of traumatic for him.
Yeah.
And he got in trouble. So it was kind of... It kind of put him on a bad path. So.
Yeah, he's not like he's not like sexually sadistic or anything, as far as you can tell. He's one of those emotional motherfuckers like Dahmer, trying to keep people as friends. Yeah,
he wants
stuff.
Friends. He wants to be loved. And, yeah, you know. That
yeah,
kind of stuff.
It's a good movie though. I liked it. I liked.
Yeah, I did as well. I really like things that are, you know, this kind of tone that are like a horror movie, but funny. I don't know if I'd call this a horror comedy as much as I'd call it, like, a black comedy. Because I don't know if it's really a horror movie. Even though it's out of a serial killer, and there is, like, some gore in it. You know, like, heads getting severed and deers crashing through windshields and
Well, you think that's limbs. What happened. It's hard to tell what exactly happened because he was tripping at that time.
That's what I mean. Or, he may like, have run tripping her. On, like, natural...
He may have run her over.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
There's no way.
Yeah,
no
you
way
know,
of really knowing.
Once you finish the movie, you realize that you're not really sure, like, if you saw what actually happened or not. Like, did he really not mean to kill that girl? Was it just kind of like an accident? Because it kind of looked like an accident.
I think he
But he
to
might
kill
have been,
girl.
Like, justifying it to himself.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, I was just...
He
I was trying to help her.
He might have hint that she didn't like him, because she set him up. So she was. He was like, oh, shit, if this is my only chance, she doesn't actually like me, so if I want to be with her... I gotta make my move so I can keep her forever.
Yeah, it might have been that.
I don't think any of it was an accident.
Yeah, see, I don't think so either. And it's
he
just,
was telling himself it was an accident.
Yeah. It seemed like that I think at that point, like the first murder that we know of that he committed, was even though he like made it seem like an accident in his own mind. But I think that what happened was, even if the first, like, wound or whatever had been an accident, I think they were tying it back to what happened with his mom and him, like, his perception of it being like, oh, well, now I have to put them out of their misery.
Yeah.
Because I hurt them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He didn't want to get in trouble either.
Yeah, but he didn't really know what was going on because it's like, you know, after he killed the first one, it's like he took the body, but then he left like a bunch of guts and a shoe and everything like that. So he didn't really know.
Honestly,
like,
I don't think he even took the body at first. The cat told him.
That's right. Yeah,
he
because the body
was
still there
out,
the next
day. And the
cat's
like, you got to go bury the body. You got to do something about that.
Yeah.
And so then it kind of set him rolling on a course.
Yeah, because that was, I really liked the whole cat-dog dynamic. I mean, the cat in this was hilarious. Because
the
Mr.
dog
Whiskers.
Told him, you gotta go to the police, you gotta clear your conscience, go take care of it. And the cat's like, are you crazy? You're gonna get locked away forever, that's not what you do.
Yeah, so the cat was like giving him, because like I said, they were, you know, like you said, it was like an angel and devil on their shoulder, like, you know, his conscience, like two side of it, and they were always fighting. But it's like the funny thing about the dog too was that he kept telling him that he was a good boy.
Yeah. Until by the end, remember, he's like, I think I've reevaluated.
Yeah.
I changed my position on this, how I feel about
you're
you.
You're a good boy.
Are
you're
good,
good boy.
Are you bad? I don't know.
It's just, yeah, it's like, it's a really, really delightful movie if you're into that kind of thing. Like I said, I think it's on Tubi, or it was. I don't know if it's still on there anymore. I think I saw it on there like a while back when I was looking about that other movie, The Voices. I think that one came up as well. So if you are interested in seeing it, like I said, it came out in 2014. And, you know, now that we've expanded the years out for the... Thank you, Mango.
Thanks, Mango.
A belated birthday flashbowl.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. I did. Was Mango here last night?
I think he was, yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't remember. Yeah. Like, because there was so many...
I think he was.
Because I was like, did
he
see...
He might have come a little bit later.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I was going to say, oh, did you see, like... Mirror Universe Spock and Baby Yoda back there.
Yeah, got Baby Yoda.
And the Shining board game and everything.
Another thing this kind of reminded me of is that this movie kind of reminded me a little bit of Dexter.
Yeah, it was like very similarly
like
themed to that.
If
and
you
I
like
think
Dexter, you'd like this.
And I think like I saw another review, like a professional critic reviewing, like that also compared it.
Yeah.
To that was this is it's similar kind of like maybe a little bit funnier.
You're right.
But
it's not, look, it's not a funny topic. What it is the dude's hallucinations are funny.
Yeah.
You're seeing his hallucinations. But he's a serial killer.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's an accident. He doesn't really want to do it. He just has to do it because it's in him.
Yeah.
That's what I think's going on.
And I mean, the cat is the best part, Mr. Whiskers. And I love the voice for him. And I love it even more now that I know that Ryan Reynolds also did that voice.
The cat's trying to justify it.
Mm-hmm.
he's like, look, man, you know, I kill shit. You know, I love to kill shit. Yeah. And it's just like that. You know, the dog's going, oh, no, I don't do
that's not who you are.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Don't listen to him. That kind of shit.
And he doesn't, Jerry, he knows, he even says it in therapy, or maybe not in therapy, but he says, like, to the cat and the dog, like, I know you guys aren't real. Like, I know you're just me. So who am I listening to? Because you're just extensions of me. So it's like, who am I then? Because I have the good side, the bad side, and then who, what, you know, like you got three parts of yourself.
Yeah, and the girls are, the dead girls are talking to him too.
Yeah, once he starts murdering, all the heads are in the fridge and they're talking
and they're all talking
to
him, you know, they're all like idealized girlfriends and shit, you know. And then they're friends with each other and it's fucking, it's funny when you look at it that way. But it's not funny when you realize that a lot of those crazy motherfuckers are doing that.
Well,
that's kind of what's in their mind. And that's what the movie was supposed to be that.
Yeah, that's what the guy that wrote it, that's who he said that's where he got the idea. It was like, I want to see the movie that's going on inside a serial killer's mind.
Some of these serial killers, you know, essentially see themselves as good people. This is just something.
Most people see themselves as good
people. This is just something beyond their control, and they're going to try to deal with it. And I think Dahmer actually thought he was a good person. He wasn't, though.
And I think, when, you know, when we talked about Jeffrey Dahmer, he is, I don't generally feel sorry for serial killers. I do feel a little bit sorry for him.
Yeah.
Because he really didn't seem, I mean, because there's some serial killers that are just, they know that
they.
He was
just a needy motherfucker, you know what I mean? Well, the probably like the most, Ted Bundy was the one that really was probably the most dangerous.
Yeah.
And not only did he think he was a good person, he thought he was an awesome motherfucker. He thought he was awesome.
Yeah.
Great. That women were bad and that they deserved what was happening to him, basically. Yeah. That's what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, they do have some kind of self-awareness, but I think they're, you know, when you get into, like, sociopaths that think they're, like, that are so arrogant, they think they're just better than everybody, so they, you know, have the right to do that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Where I'm not sure if Dahmer had that. You know what I mean? I didn't think he had that same. I'm not saying
he was an emotionally needy.
That's what I mean.
Dude.
And he was just like warped.
He's kind of a parasite.
You know, so I don't know if he was necessarily sociopathic in the same sense as somebody like Ted Bundy was.
I think he was just psychopathic, maybe. It's hard to say.
Although, I mean,
there was some mental shit going on.
They can talk themselves into stuff that like a normal person would do. You can come up with justifications for it.
Yeah, that's what he was doing.
Because I do feel like that's a very human thing, not just among serial killers, but, you know, you kind of just do what you want to do, and then you justify it later.
Dahmer had a bunch of abandonment issues. He thought eating these dudes was going to keep them with him.
Yeah.
And he was trying to make them living sex dolls out of little Filipino boys or whatever.
Injecting bleach into their
heads.
Brains
and so if you actually look at what they're doing, the shit's fucking nasty. You know what I mean? His intent doesn't matter at that point.
That's what I'm saying.
That dude's fucking lost the ability to fucking be able, you know what I mean? He's lost the ability to fucking function in society. I mean,
That's what I was going to say was that even though, you know, I find it interesting, like, the different motivations and the different reasons that they do these types of things, you know, and some of the shit can be helped and some of it not, but in the end, the result is the same.
Yeah, I'm saying he couldn't function in society. That bitch couldn't function in prison either. You can't do that in prison. They'll kill you. And they did.
Yeah.
You know, he just couldn't function in the world.
Yeah.
Once you get that bad, you're through. You got to go.
Yeah, that's a line that once you've crossed it's kind
of like
going back after that.
You can't be hanging around after you've done some shit like that.
Yeah, really just you've done that one time and everyone's like, nope.
Injecting Drano into
put you over
people's
here
brains.
Into people's brains and turn them into a sex zombie so they don't leave you. You gotta go.
It's like I don't think there's any fixing this.
No.
So, you know what I mean? That's terrible. All right.
One of my favorite things too about this movie, which I think I remember, is when Jerry how he justifies it too, because the therapist asked him, "Do you hear disembodied voices?" And he thinks about it and he's like, no, because all the voices he hears have to have, like, a face and, like, you have to be an animal or a human head or something like that. So he sees it as, no, they're just talking to me like I'm having a regular conversation. So he's like, That's not a crazy. It's not a crazy person thing, right? Like, because they're all they have bodies. They're not disembodied. Yeah.
So he they're kind coming of thought, from somewhere.
He's like, they can't be that bad. It's not. That's not crazy. So that's kind of a funny way to justify it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Like all they of have the a voices, source, so right, had a source. They have so to it's be like real. He didn't see it as, but he did have some self awareness in the sense that he knew that the cat and dog weren't really talking to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sort of. He sort of seemed to have some kind of self-awareness about it.
Fourth drawer down says, Mira Spock approves this movie.
He does.
I don't know if he would, though, because there's a lot of irrationality in
that. Well, he would say it was a study in human irrationality. It perfectly exemplifies humans.
Yeah.
He would say, that's a good the example of humans. The worst of humanity.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what he would say. Yeah. Mirror Universe Spock and regular Spock.
Yeah.
Who I feel like didn't have a lot of, not as many differences, maybe.
Different situation.
Yeah.
Situationally, they were different.
He still seemed
like a
kind of okay dude.
Well, in the expanded universe of Star Trek, in the Mirror Universe, Spock became, he kind of tried to reform the Terran Empire and make it into something good for a while.
Yeah.
It didn't ultimately work, but.
But he tried, guys.
He tried, yeah. I don't know the whole story. I don't remember it. Actually, it's been a long time since I've heard what happened to him. I think he got assassinated eventually, if I remember correctly. Somebody might be able to clear that up. I think he eventually got assassinated.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody out there knows.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so that'll do it for our matinee today. We'll be back with another one tomorrow. We don't know what movie it'll be yet. It'll be a surprise for all of us. So thanks for dropping by. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.